In the name of the Father, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments this morning on the 87th Psalm, and the topic for my message is No Stranger in the City. The text is all seven verses of the 87th Psalm. If you would like to follow along, the psalm is found on page 140 of the Little Red Hymnals. The text reads as follows, Psalm 87, verses 1 through 7. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab, that is Egypt, and Babylon, to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, this one was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this man and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this one was born there. As well the singers as the players on instrument shall be there. They say, all my springs are in thee. So far our text. There are no strangers in the city. There are strangers in the night. There are strangers on the highways. There are strangers scattered throughout the countryside. Every little village and every little town that dots the landscape has its strangers, but there are no strangers in the city. No strangers in the city? On the contrary, our American cities today are full of strangers. The derelicts, the homeless, the aged, the vagrants, the pimps, the prostitutes, the pushers, and the addicts. The disillusioned, the downcast, the lonely, and the hungry. Ah, yes, but there are no strangers in this city, Zion, the city of God. That's the message of Psalm 87. The writer of the 87th Psalm recognizes no strangers in the city. All who live in Zion are counted as having been born in Zion and are reckoned as Zion's children. Let's take a brief look at this 87th Psalm this morning. It's a psalm which the commentator H.C. Leupold refers to as being so concise that at times it borders on obscurity. We look first at the city, which is described for us in the first three verses. Then we look at the citizenry of the city as they are presented to us in verses 4, 5, and 6. And finally, we take note of the great celebration held by the citizens of the city in the last and final verse. Psalm 87 begins with a description of the city of Zion. We note, first of all, that the city has a founder. Every city has a founder. Cities are built by someone. What is unique about Zion is the someone who built Zion is not just anyone. Zion is built by the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth. He who founded all things by the power of his word has also decided to found a city and to associate his name with that city. Second, we note from the first three verses of our text that the city of Zion is built on mountains. Now, why would someone build a city on a mountain? A mountain is a symbol of strength. A mountain is a symbol of that which is meant to last. And the man who builds a city on a mountain is a man that builds a city that he intends will last. There's a second reason for building a city on a mountain. If you don't want a city to be seen, build it in a valley. If you want a city to be seen, you build it on a mountain. We think of the words of the Savior, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. This city, the city of Zion, is built on the mountains because it's meant to last and it is meant to be seen. Thirdly, we note about this city from our text that it is built on the holy mountains. As God is holy, and as His city is holy, so that city must be set on holy ground. We know from the book of Scripture that sin is not everlasting. Sin will be done away with. There'll come a day when sin is no more. This is not true of God's holiness. It comes from everlasting, and it is everlasting. We know from Scripture that the world lies in the darkness of sin. And we know that only God's Word provides the light that brings relief and rescue and redemption from that sin. The foundation of a holy city, of our holy God, can be set nowhere else than on holy mountains. But finally, and most importantly of all, we note that God is fond of this city. Now, the Lord loves all the dwelling places of His people. We read in verse 2 of our text, the Lord loves the gates of Zion, but He loves them more than the dwellings of Jacob. The Lord God has set His peculiar love on this city. And what is it about the city that He loves? He loves its gates. Why not the walls? Well, the reason is obvious. Walls keep people out of the city. Gates let people in to the city. And the Lord God wants the outsider, the foreigner, the stranger, the sinner. He wants them to come through the gates and into His city. That raises the all-important question, doesn't it? How do you get those outside the city to come into the city? The psalmist has the answer very clearly. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. You want to get people into the city? You have to publicize the city. You've got to speak about it. You've got to tell people about the city. Do you want to get people to go to Paris? You tell them about the glories of Paris and you point them to the Eiffel Tower. You want to get people to go to Rome? You tell them about the ancient glories of Rome and you point out to them St. Peter's Cathedral. You want a bigger challenge of how to get people to Fort Wayne? You find some glories in Fort Wayne. You take them down to the confluence of the St. Joe and the St. Mary River and you show them the old wooden fort. You want to get people to Zion? You tell them about the glories of Zion, and then you point out to them the old wooden cross. You see, the cross of Christ is the glory of the city of Zion. Zion's glories are meant to be spoken about so that Zion's gates might become a busy thoroughfare for pilgrims making the journey from outside the city into the city. And as people move through the gates, the city becomes a hustling and a bustling metropolis that it is meant to be. God has not founded Zion to be a ghost town. He wants it to be His holy ghost city. And He wants people in it. But how will the city grow? And who will people the city of Zion? That's the big question. From the day of Abraham unto our own day, when we're so concerned with church growth. God has founded the city. We make no mistake about that. The question is, can he also make it grow? Or must the Lord God Almighty, who founded this city, lease out the site to human developers who can come up with ingenious plans and schemes on how to populate the city of God? Must it be left to human developers to do those things that our God cannot do? Jesus once said, I will build my church. I don't ever recall Jesus saying, I'll let it out to developers to build it. Our psalmist is quick to tell us that the Lord God founded this city. But our psalmist is also quick to tell us in the fifth verse of this psalm that the Lord God Almighty, the highest himself, shall establish the city. The city is founded on the holy mountains, and the city is established by holy people, and there is no other way. How is Zion to be filled and established with a holy people? Not just by God doing what he does best, but by God doing what only God can do. Only he can found the city. Only he can establish the city. Only he can draw the stranger into the city. The Lord God grants the stranger, the enemy, the foreigner, the heathen, the sinner, whether he be Jew or Gentile, he grants him a berth in that city. Now be careful. Not B-E-R-T-H. Not a berth. Not a little slot. So you can come into the city, lie down, and go to sleep. No. He grants the stranger a berth. B-I-R-T-H. In this city. In verse 4, he says, this one was born there. In verse 5, he says, this man and that man was born there. In verse 6, he says, this one was born there. Why born there? So it can be your city. So you can go out and brag about your hometown and tell other people about the city in which your citizenry is registered. You know, it's almost, isn't it, like being born a second time. Only this time in the right place, in God's city. Is there a Nicodemus in the house who dares to raise his hand and say, how can this be? It's right at this point that the psalmist tells us most forcefully and clearly exactly how this can be. You are born in Zion, the psalmist says in verse 4, because God makes mention of you. He remembers you. You, the prodigal, the sinner, the wayfarer. He knows you. He remembers you. He calls you by name, and he calls you into the city by your name. He calls you out of sin to holiness. It's a holy city. No sin in the city. It's built on the holy mountains. And no nameless stranger in this city. Only those who have a name given them by God Almighty. You can be born in Zion because God counts you among his own. The Hebrew word is safar, cipher. He adds you up. He ciphers you in. He reckons you. He counts you as being his people. That's how you can be a citizen of God's city. And in this city, only what God counts, counts. Nothing else counts. How can you be born in Zion? You can be born in Zion because God takes the time to write your name down on the register. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this one was born there. You, whoever you are, from wherever you are, you are the one whom he's called to be native born in his holy city. There are no strangers in this city. You may once have been a stranger, but now all that is changed. Psalm 87, concise, you bet it is. Obscure, no way. But how do you know that you are one of the citizens of the city of God? What is the mark of identification? How do I know I'm on the roll, a member in God's city, a citizen of God's city? You don't try the calibration test. You don't see whether you're of sufficient caliber to qualify. You try the celebration test. Psalm 87, verse 7. Do you sing praises to God? The citizens of this city sing his praises. There are no long faces in Zion, only about faces. Do you dance and make music to the tune of his glory? The citizenry of Zion does. There is no moral majority in Zion. There's no silent minority in Zion. Only music makers, only singers, only dancers, only those who make music to the words of their great confession of their God. Can you say with the citizens of Zion, all my springs, all my being, all my vitality, all my joy, all my life, all my hopes, all my needs are met in Zion, because there I meet my God, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. If you can sing his praises, if you can make music to his name, if you can confess this confession, you know you're his. You know you're a member of his city and no longer a stranger in a strange place. You've come out of the night. You've come off of the highways. You've come out of the countryside. And you've entered the city to find him and your home and your rest. To find him who first found you. There are no strangers in the city. Do you know why? Because once there was a solitary stranger in the city of Zion. He rode into Zion on a donkey. Another man's donkey, and all the citizens welcomed him. They all praised him. They looked as though they wanted him. But then Holy Week ran its doleful course, and there he stood, all alone, like a stranger in his own city. The city knew him not. The citizens received him not. There was no singing. There was no joy. There was no confession. Only denial. I don't know him. Only death, kill him. Only 3 hours of darkness. He was counted a stranger in the city where his own father's house stood. But because he, the first citizen of the city, the very Son of God himself, was a stranger in Zion, we are now citizens and fellow heirs with the saints of God in Zion, the city of God, a city that knows no strangers. Shall we pray? To mine his spirit speaketh sweet words of holy cheer, how God to him that seeketh for rest is always near, and how he hath erected a city fair and new, where all that faith expected we evermore shall view. Grant it, O Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.